excited about that. Well, that one's weak, but okay. But so we want to thank Jesus, and we want to thank all the mamas in the house, right? Today's Mother's Day, and so I want to start off a little bit with a little bit of light and a little bit of joy and a little bit of laughter, and then we'll get a little serious and we'll get a little joy again, and then in the end I'll bring you some points, some spiritual points that and applications that I believe that will be a blessing to us all. But there was James Dobson told a story about a mother who was sick in bed, and her daughter, but she had the flu, and her daughter wanted to bring her tea. So she said, okay, I'll bring some tea. Mom, can I bring you tea? She said, sure. So she went in there and she got the water. She boiled the water. She put the tea bag in there. She got it all ready. And she brought it to her mom and said, well, this is good, honey. I didn't know you knew how to make tea like this. She said, yes, ma'am. I boiled the water. I put the tea bag in there. And then I strained it, you know, and took the tea bag out. And she said, but I'll be honest with you, Mom. I could not find the strainer, so I used a flask water. And then she said, but Mama's like, oh my gosh, listen, I did not use the new one. So she did not want to mess up the new one. But mothers always know there's two mysterious people in the house, living in the house with them. It's somebody and nobody. Somebody did it and nobody knows who did it, right? It's always that. It's always somebody did it. I don't know who did it. Nobody knows who did it, you know, because babies are all from the umbilical cord, right? Biblical cord. Is that how it's supposed to go? But anyway, but there's a little boy that he went to his first wedding, and his mom was trying to teach him, you know, you're with this one man and one woman together forever and this kind of thing, and trying to teach about the commitment to a marriage and the covenant of God. And she said, okay, I want to ask you a question. How many women are you supposed to be with when you get married? He said, 16. He said, what are you talking about? He said, well, the pastor said it. Four better, four worse, four richer, four poorer. So we do want to thank mothers. And I just about every single year, I really try to incorporate this somehow, whether online or in here or whatever. But it means a lot to me to understand all the women in the room. And so, you know, we always have... the everyday stay-at-home mom, you know. So happy Mother's Day to every day. We see you at home working and grinding, trying to disciple your children and help them learn the schoolwork and get all that done and tests, and then still clean the house and do all the things that you do. So we see you today. We also see the barren mom, the mom that wants to have children that is struggling with that, having a hard time for that. We see you today, and we're praying that God will open your womb and you'll be able to be blessed by the child that you desire. Also, we pray for the foster mom, that mom that says, you know what, hey, there's some other kids out that are hurting, that are broken, that are undone, and I want to grab them and I want to pull them into my family and I want to foster them until they can find a place, you know. Or maybe even the adopting mom that says, you know what, I want to not just foster, I want to adopt, I want you to become mine. You don't have a mom and I want to be your mother, and they go choose that child, they pick that child out, and they adopt that child. And then on top of that, I also want to talk about those moms that love their child so incredibly much. So incredibly much. They're like, you know what? I'm too young to handle this. I don't have the means and the ways to handle this. So therefore, I'm going to give you up to God and to somebody else so they can give you the life that you deserve, because I just can't give it to you right now. How respectful and how much love does that take? You know, to give up your child like that. That's amazing. That's a special person that can do that. And then the single mom that don't have a dad, the dad's passed, or the dad's left the building, and they're all alone, and they're trying to do it all. They're trying to cut the grass. They're trying to do everything, do all the things, and they're, it bless you. We see you as well, and we honor you today. Also, the stepmom, the mom that says, these ain't my kids, you know, but I love them like they're mine. Right? And they take care of those kids. We see you as well, seeing that, you know what, you don't treat them kids any differently than you would your own. And then the Viloma, I think I mentioned this a couple years ago, the Viloma mom, and that's the death against natural order, the one who lost a child by death or miscarriage way before it was time. We see you today as well and honor you. And then also the heavenly mom, those of you that are in here that have lost your mom's in heaven, we see you, and your mom sees you, and she's very proud of you today, of the woman that you've become. And then also the mom figures that I'm not a mom. I don't have any children. But maybe you're a dog mom. Okay, bless you sometimes. You know. But then the mom that's a spiritual mom, that you have the little kids in your life that come into your house. They come to your house to get Kool-Aid just to hear you talk and you just speak into their life. And you know all your kids' friends that don't have good moms, that don't treat them well. They come to your house to feel the love that you have. You know, those moms, we want to thank you for that as well. And we see you being that spiritual mother to those kids that have a mom, but maybe don't have the love in their house that you were able to give them. And so I just want to say all that because actually, there's in the Bible, it talks about that mom figure. It says, greet Rufus, whom Rufus, who that's a weird name. Greet Rufus, whom the Lord picked out to be his very own. And listen to this. And also his dear mother, who has been a mother to me. We know who Rufus is. Rufus is the son of Simon the Cyrene, the one who took Jesus' cross on his back and took the cross for Jesus when he couldn't do it on that day that he had to take the cross, the journey to the cross. And he shared this powerful moment with his kids. His kids were there. Scripture says that he was there. They were there. And it talks about that in I think it's Mark 15:21, and it says that his son Alexander Rufus was there, and he shared that with them. But he said that greet Rufus, you know, because his mom was like my mom. So praise God for that. Being a mother is more than just giving birth to children. It's tender, loving care that only a woman can give. You know, it's really hard if you find a single dad, you really need to show them some love because they're trying to give a love really that they don't have. Nobody has that mother love except for a mother. Now God does grace single fathers and He gives them a special love for that child. But Mother's Day started as a federal holiday in May the 9th, 1914, even though it was first celebrated in 1908, and we celebrate it every year, Mom. This is your day. Amen. So my mother taught me some logic. She said, if you fall off that swing and break your neck, you can't go to the store with me. Right? And she, you know, she also said that, hey, if everybody else jumps off a cliff, are you going to jump off too? Right? That's logic. She taught me some humor. When the lawnmower cuts off those toes that you keep putting on it, you're not going to be able to don't come running to me. Right? She taught me some genetics. You know, you're just like your father, right? And she taught me some anticipation. She said, you wait till your father gets home, right? Right? And then she taught me about receiving. You're going to get it. You're going to get it when I get you home, right? She taught me about religion. You better pray this comes out of my carpet, right? She taught me medical advice. If you don't stop crossing them I's, they're going to get stuck that way. Right? And my mother also taught me how to appreciate a job well done. She said, if you're going to kill each other, go outside and do it. I just cleaned the carpet. My mother taught me about time travel. She said, if you don't straighten up, I'm going to knock you in the middle of the next week. Right? And then she taught us about the circle of life. I brought you into this world, and I can take you out. Right? Now, my personal mom, my mom did not say all those things, but I'm sure you've heard those, and your mom might have said some of those as well. I want to talk to you about three quick points about a godly mother. A godly mother, number one, a godly mother submits completely to God's will. Submits completely to God's will. Mary was only a teenager. She was a young teenager, and she was confronted with a challenge to have God's son. Can you imagine that? Hey, whoever, you know, put your name there. You know, hey, Sophie. You know, I need you to have my son. You're not going to be with a man. You're not going to be with nobody. But I'm going to give you the Christ. Can you understand? As a teenager, the power, the heaviness of that would be put on her. She was stunned, and she just didn't know what to do. But she knew it was an angel of the Lord that was telling her that, and she knew what was being asked of her, and she knew that being a mother was not a part-time job. Any moms know that? It's not a part-time job. You can't just check in and check out, right? Right? But God called her to be the mother of His Son. That's powerful. You know, and it says in Luke chapter 1, verse 38, Mary responded, I am the Lord's servant. May everything that you have said about me come true. And then the angel left her. That's submission. I love how the Passion Translation says it. It says, then Mary responded, yes, I will be a mother for the Lord. As his servant, I accept whatever he has for me. May everything that you have told me come to pass. And the angel left her. I love that. It's a total commitment that you're saying, God, whatever you have for me, for this child or these children, I accept it. Whatever path you have, whatever we're going to go through, I understand. And I want you to know that I have unwavering submission to you and to my commitment as mom. Now, was she nervous? Absolutely. Was she a little anxious and unsure what to do? Yeah, I mean, hey, this is God's son. How do you mother God's son? You know, is probably pretty stressed out for her. You know, she was a mother who sat up late at night because of what, you know, because she understood that there was going to be pain and turmoil and possibly even death through this situation. So she's sitting there, you know, as you would as a mom, whenever your child wanted a date or running the roads late at nighttime, you're sitting up waiting for your child to get home to make sure you're safe, right? You know, she did the same thing because she knew there was, the angel said there was going to be suffering and pain and death. And he had talked to her about this. And so she, even as a child, she's like, when is this going to happen? She didn't have the whole story. She didn't know. She was like, okay. And so she just constantly just was praying over him and just blessing him and being a concerned mom. And she's like many of the other parents in this room, that regardless of what your children think, you really only want the best for them. And if you're a teenager or child in the room, I would let you know that your mom loves you so much. She only wants the best for you. And she's not going to be perfect. And even when she makes a mistake, she still wanted the best for you. You know, because parents, we make mistakes, right? We'll talk about that in a minute. But then Mary was unlike a lot of parents in the world, that she was totally committed to God. And if you're going to be a true mother and you're really going to show the love and be the parent to your kid that you need to be, then you need to be totally submitted to God, totally committed, and a mother, and because Mary was a mother worth imitating. So you need to be totally sold out and say, God, whatever your will is for me, for these children, you lead me and guide me, and I will follow. I'm totally submitted to you. I'm not going to try to do it on my own. I commit them to you as a young age, and I dedicate them to you, you know, and I want to bless them, you know. That's why we do, you know, that's why we got to appreciate our moms. You know, on Easter and Mother's Day, I wear a tie or a coat a lot of times because, you know, for Mama and Jesus, you got to dress up a little bit, right? So, but number two, a godly mother does not have to be perfect, as we just mentioned. Look, that should make a lot of y'all parents, especially your moms, feel good. You haven't got to be perfect. You feel that you've got to be perfect. You don't have to be. Because Linda Huckins of Maiden, Massachusetts, she tried perfection one day. She was at her daughter's wedding, and she just had her gels done. You want gel? She did her gels, right? And she went up to the three candles, right? She went up there to light the candle. When she did, her gel nail caught on fire. And so what she did was, instead of going any further, she went ahead and lit it with her finger. She lit it with her finger, and then she just did like the old gun finger. She just blew it out. So moms have a good way of messing up and still making it sassy and doing the right thing, right? You know, Dr. Benjamin Carlson, a wonderful man, renowned surgeon at Johns Hopkins, you know, Ben Carson. His mother would have him and his brother Curtis write reports at home, not at school, for home. This ain't got nothing to do with your class. This is for Mama. I want you to read books, and I want you to write a book report every 2 weeks. And then when he got up to junior high school, he realized that his mother couldn't read. He thought she was reading all of them and proofing them. She knew she couldn't read, but she still wanted the best for her child. So she had them do what she knew that they needed to do to make them better, even though she couldn't help them in it. Praise God for that kind of mom. So she was raised by a literate mother, and he grew up to be a world-class surgeon, author of several books, and also he was a presidential candidate. And his mom had a big part of that because she had self-interest in what her child was doing. She had accountability and the courage to make them do extra work to help them prepare for life. And despite what we think, you know, we think Mary, Mother Jesus, she was perfect, but she really wasn't. She made some mistakes too. Whenever Jesus performed the first miracle when he turned water into wine, we know that's the first miracle. It was not his time to do so, right? He was supposed to wait a little longer. But Jesus looked at Mary when she said, "Hey, son, I need you to turn this water into wine because I know you're Jesus, you're God." And he looked at her in John chapter 2, verse 4 in the NIV, and Jesus said to Mary, "Woman, why do you involve me? It's not my time." Okay, listen. Guys, I'm telling you, if you try to be like Jesus, she's going to whoop your butt. That ain't going to work in today's society. The thing that he had, that he was Jesus, right? You know? And the message says that he looked at her and said, "What business is this of yours, mother?" Yeah, I tell you, that's a bad day, son. I'll tell you that right now. Yeah, just so the thing is that two things. First, you know, like I said, children, just be careful with that. But Mary's request was to Jesus. But here's what's so funny about it. Whatever he said, "Woman, this ain't my time yet," right? But guess what? It wasn't his time, but he did it. He did it. "It ain't my time to come forward. This is a big deal. He wasn't supposed to come out of Jesus yet. But mama said it." Because what's so funny is the next verse. After he says that to her, she looks at the helpers and says, "Do whatever he tells you to do." I'm like, "Go ahead, Mary." She said, "He's going to do what I told him to do. Why do you don't involve me, woman? Okay, just whatever he tells you to do, y'all do it." She knew he was going to do it. I love it. That's good. And then while Jesus was talking to a crowd one day, his brothers were upset. You know, you got Jude and the other brothers that he had in his life, and James. And so they told him that they were like, "Mama, he's in there preaching. He's doing stuff. He's causing a ruckus and all this kind of stuff. We need to go get him." And so they're outside, and inside, the people say, "Hey, man, your mom and your bros are outside wanting to talk to you." They're like, "You need to come outside." And he looked at them and said, "Here's my brother. Here are my mother and my brothers. For whosoever does the will of my Father in heaven are my brother and sister and mother." See, he's showing how important the family of God is. Showing that, you know what, whoever loves God and whoever's with me, that's my brothers and my sisters. They were out of line. He was doing the will of God at that time. Instead of seeking God and praying and saying, "God, is this, what do I need to do here?" She just obeyed or believed what the sons were saying and said, let's go get Jesus, because the brothers were probably jealous that he had all this popularity. And so he was like, no. And so they shouldn't have interrupted him, but they did. And he wanted to show how important the family of God is. Because how many people know that sometimes the family of God, the people in this room that are hanging out with you, your brothers and sisters of Christ, you're closer to them than you are a lot of your family blood, right? It does not always matter, because sometimes the family in this room is going to be more family to you than anybody else you got just about, right? And so if you made mistakes in the past, you know, hey, it's okay, moms, because you're going to make more. You know, you might have made one this morning. You might make one tonight or tomorrow. But through it all, God will love you, He will work with you, and He will accept you. Through it all, the task of mothering and grandmothering and whatever, you will accomplish what God's called you to do as long as you stay submitted to Him. And then a lot of mothers are discouraged when they read the Proverbs 22 woman, because it's like this invisible woman that nobody knows how it is. It's like this imaginary woman. It starts off and says, "She never sleeps and always works." Okay, well, that part's probably real, and that's probably you. But then it goes on and says, "She manages a fleet of ships. She runs a farm. She manages a staff. And she sews like a fashion expert. She cooks, she cleans, she homeschools her children. She has a," listen to this, "she has a feast waiting on her husband when he arrives home from his much less demanding job." And Danny's a trick. That's my buddy right there. "Danny, I know your wife and that ain't going to happen, but you ain't going to." Jessica, you can have a conversation with him when he gets the car. And it says, "And she needs no carpool whatsoever." I guess she just flies around. I don't know what she does. "She somehow puts this Superman cape on and she just goes about it to her next appointment." You know, the thing is that's all in this invisible woman, right? But the thing is so you don't need to try to match up to that, what scripture says, the perfect woman. You need to match up to what God wants you to be. And if you're doing your best, that's all that God requires of you. It's kind of like salvation. I tell guys all the time, man, all God wants you to do is do your best. And your best is all that you can give. And as long as you're doing your best, God is okay with that. And if you as a mom are doing your best and you're still making mistakes, God's like, it's okay, I understand. He's going to help you. He's going to help you. He's going to give you wisdom and understanding to help you through this process. So the thing is just keep going, keep doing the best you can. Don't put so much pressure on yourself to be this perfect wife, to be able to do everything. Just do the best that you can. Number three, and lastly, a godly mother never relinquishes her title. She never relinquishes her title. Mary didn't stand up passively whenever she was at the cross. She did not stand up passively and was like, you know, well, this was God's son. I just had the baby, but it's really... No. She was bent over double in anguish, in tears, crying and bawling. This was her son. And she never relinquished the title, even to his death. And if you come up... The truth of Simeon's prophecy at the birth of Jesus was suddenly true. The cross cut deeply into Mary's heart, despite the pain. It cut deep. And she realized that this needed to happen because he told her. And even though he told her, she kind of understood, but she didn't understand. She was a mother at the beginning, and she was a mother at the end. You'll find mothers like that in the halls of the hospitals, in funeral homes, in school counseling areas, in courts. You'll find a mom that's a mother to the end. They'll be there, you know, well, you're, hey, the news, like, hey, ma'am, your son is a serial killer. And they're like, well, he had a good heart. You know, we got all this proof, but he was a good kid. You know, because a mom is a mom from the beginning to the end, no matter how bad, they're going to find the good in that child. Because they're always going to hope in that child. They're always going to love in that child. No matter how far that child goes away, they're always having hope and believing that that child is going to come home. And they're always going to be there for that child. They're always going to be there for that child. She loves to raise that child enough to help him even do things that he's incapable of. And to be there. Matter of fact, Scripture says in Psalms 139:13, for you formed my inmost parts. You covered me in my womb, my mother's womb. Your eyes saw my substance, being yet unformed. And in your book they are all written. The days are fashioned for me, when as yet there are none of them. And then Jeremiah 1:5, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. See, there's no mistakes. We make mistakes, but God does not make a mistake. Before you were born, I sanctified you. I ordained you as a prophet to the nations. Hallelujah. See, when a woman becomes a mother and a man becomes a father, there's an instant realization that you're looking at this beautiful child that is totally dependent upon you and needs you to help them do everything. There's going to be pain one day because that child's going to want to do stuff on their own, and it's going to hurt you. They're going to bring pain to your life because of the situations that they put you through, right? Because they're trying to live their own life. They're trying to do their own thing. And you know there's going to be pain. You know there's going to be harsh words. You know there's going to be unacceptable actions. And sometimes you might need to give tough love, and sometimes there's going to be impossible nights to go through. But you will make it because you have a mother's love. And nobody else has that love but you. Mary, and what's so wonderful, man, let's see here, Acts 1:14. She suffered through the crucifixion, celebrated the resurrection, and even she was a small part of the group that was witnessed the powerful presentation of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. So, how many times, never, do you get to see your child, God's will for your life, your child's life totally? She saw the birth. She saw him raise up as a teenager, preaching in the temple, astounding the scholars. And then she saw him raise up and begin his ministry. She saw God fulfill his ministry. She saw him do signs and wonders and miracles. And then she saw him die. And then she saw him raised from the dead. And then she saw him ascend to heaven. I mean, from get to go, she saw 100% of what God's plan for his life was. That's special. You may not get to see that, but maybe you get to see the beginning of what God's plan has for your son or your daughter or your children. And I encourage you to enjoy those moments. When you see God moving in their life, you need to enjoy those moments and talk to your children and tell them how special that is, that you see God's hand on their life and stuff. What a gift it is to live long enough to see these parenting things. And then some of y'all not only get to see it in your child's life, you get even to see in your grandkids' lives that God's starting to work in their lives as well. And we love that. We love that God works in their lives. So we're here today just to say, thank you, moms. We honor you today. You're doing good. Keep doing. Submit to God. Don't try to be perfect. And understand that your kids just will not understand. They will not understand your decisions. And then one day they'll come back and say, oh, I knew what you were doing the whole time. I'm sorry. I see now. I didn't see before. But in the meantime, there's pain. They just don't get it. They don't understand that you truly have the best for them, even though they don't get it. There may be a time of separation where they leave you. But even when a child leaves a mom because they're mad, whatever, you know what? That mom still loves. That mom never gives up on that child. She's always believing for them to come back. So I encourage you today, tell your mother happy birthday. I'm sorry, not happy birthday. Happy Mother's Day. All serious moment. And if you're here today, we moved the coffee pot and the espresso stuff for the mama lattes. That was really good. Little added addition today to the mama latte. I expected some of y'all to worship a little bit better since y'all had a little caffeine in you like that. But we're going to move that out of the way. There's a photo wall back there. We want you to go back there and take a picture with your family. We want you to do that. But right now, before we get to that, would you bow your head and close your eyes, please? Is there anybody in here today that would say, Pastor Doug, I'm not a Christian, and I want to make my mom proud, and I know it would really make her proud for me to turn my heart over to Jesus. And I want to ask God to forgive me, and I want to have God in my life, and I want to start off on the right foot today on Mother's Day and honor my mother by turning my life over to her. Anybody in here, I want to raise your hand to that effect. Well, how many mamas in here would we say, hey, I'm submitted to God. I know I'm not perfect, and I know I've made a lot of mistakes, but the crown is heavy right now. There's a lot going on in my life as a mom, not just with my kids, not just with my husband, just in life in general, just in my personal life, family life, all of it put together. My crown is heavy. It's at the least, it's crooked. Okay? And you say, hey, Pastor Doug, pray for me today, that I'll be able to bear this title. Because I'm not going to relinquish it, but it's heavy. Anybody at all want to raise your hand? Yes, 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 yes. Yes, yes, lots of hands. Well, let me pray for you right now if I could. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you right now for these individuals, these mothers, these amazing mothers in this room that have done their best, and they feel like their best isn't good enough sometimes. They give their all, and they just feel like, man, it's just not good enough. First off, I pray that if they have a husband, that the husband would affirm them, let them know that they're good, that they're doing a good job, and that they're doing the best that they can. And Father, right now, I pray for the peace and the shalom of Holy Spirit to be there right now in their lives and be with them and help them and encourage them and love them and give them that shalom, that perfect peace right now for them to know that, hey, you doing your best is all I'm asking of you. You're totally submitted to me. You're totally in love with your kids. You got all this burden. Now straighten that crown, put your shoulders back, stand tall, and you walk in the Spirit and know that you are loved and that you're doing a good job, that I care for you, and that I love you. In Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen. Amen. Praise God.